From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Oh my goodness, what a weekend it was. Are you like me? Are you still recovering from what went down at the Big House Saturday afternoon, bleeding into, of course, the night? I don't know what to say. I was speechless, absolutely speechless, as the Spartans pulled off the best finish in this rivalry's history, folks, topping Michigan in the final seconds of the game. We will have wall-to-wall coverage and a ton of discussion. You'll get to hear bites from the players and the coaches who are on the field embracing the madness. Wow, I'm still stunned from what took place on Saturday, folks, so you don't want to miss that. We'll also break down what the result of that game means for both the Michigan State football team as well as Michigan's football program, and whether or not the Spartans can keep this thing going undefeated. What does that mean for their national championship goals that they had, lofty goals at the beginning of the year? We'll talk all things Spartans and Wolverines. You don't want to miss any of it. Also, we'll have weekend winners for you, the Detroit Lions. How about that, huh? The Spartans and the Wolverines win this weekend. The Lions getting their first win of the NFL year. All of that and so much more. Let's start the show, folks, with, of course, your current sports quick hit headliners for this Monday, October 19th. All right, folks, Jalen Watts Jackson. He had surgery yesterday at U of M Hospital in Ann Arbor to repair a fractured and dislocated hip. Suffered as he tumbled into the end zone with the winning MSU touchdown as time expired Saturday at U of M. The redshirt freshman safety from Orchard Lake St. Mary's returned a fumble punt 38 yards. Yes, for that 27-23 win and the most stunning moment on record in the series. Mark D'Antonio, head coach of the MSU football team, said Watts Jackson told him the injury happened on the fall in the end zone, after which teammates piled onto Watts Jackson before he shoved them away in obvious pain. We'll have more on the Spartans' victory over the Wolverines in just a sec. Strap in tight, folks. Michigan State posted an efficient, convincing 3-0 victory over visiting Rutgers on Saturday as the MSU women's volleyball team hit a season-best 425. All 14 eligible Spartan players saw court time on the evening, and MSU was paced by setter Rachel Manerick, whose sixth double-double of the season was sweetened by 4 blocks and 3 kills. Alyssa Garvalink turned in another impressive performance, hitting 647 on a match-best 12 kills. The Spartans win their third straight match and own a 13-6 overall record and improved to 5-3 in the Big Ten. Number 5, Denver, used a pair of early period goals by Matt Markinu, one in the first and one in the second, en route to a 3-0 win over the Michigan State hockey team on Saturday night in Magnus Arena in Denver. Jake Hildebrandt made a season-high 38 stops in the loss for the Spartans, who will return to Munn Ice Arena this week for a home-opening series against Lake Superior State. Markinu scored what proved to be the only goal the Pioneers would need, 1:19 into the first period. The Detroit Lions! Matt Prater, he kicked a 27-yard field goal with 2:29 left in OT, and the Detroit Lions beat the Bears 37-34 on Sunday for their first victory of the season. Matthew Stafford heaved a 57-yard pass to Calvin Megatron Johnson to set up the kick for the Lions, who are 1-5 now. Johnson finished with 6 receptions for 166 yards. Stafford threw a go-ahead 6-yard TD pass to a leaping Johnson in the end zone with 21 seconds left in the fourth following consecutive penalties.
Stafford on second down. Deep for Calvin Johnson, who makes the catch!
What are you gonna do?
Stafford, end zone. The ball is juggled, and the Bears come up with it. An interception by Jonathan Anderson. Looked like a touchdown, but not held on to by Tate.
The view of the play, the room on the field has changed. It is a
touchdown. Oh! Now I'm really confused.
Yeah, I'm so confused on what is a catch in the NFL today. But hey, congratulations to the Detroit Lions. They desperately needed that one. All right, the Detroit Pistons, they fall to 2-4 in the preseason after dropping a close game to the San Antonio Spurs 96-92. Andre Drummond had 12 points and 15 rebounds, with Reggie Jackson chipping in with 20 points and 9 assists in a losing effort. They finished just 39.3% from the floor despite attempting 84 shots, going 8 for 25 from the three-point line, and were out-rebounded 44-37. New York Mets, they scored 3 in the first inning and didn't look back as they beat the Chicago Cubs 4-1, taking a commanding 2-0 series lead in the NLCS. This was Jake Arrieta's second straight non-quality start that hadn't happened since May the 2nd to the 7th. The Mets improved to 29-14 all-time in Shea Stadium and Citi Field during postseason play, the best home winning percentage of any franchise.
Hitting .320, 4 home runs and 6 runs batted in. He's homered in 3 straight postseason games. That's in the air to right. That's pretty deep. That ball is gone. Daniel Murphy has struck again.
Daniel Murphy, how clutch has he been or what? All right, Coach K has told ESPN that he will indeed be stepping down as the head coach of Team USA Men's Basketball after the 2016 Olympic Games in Rio de Janeiro. And Lamar Odom's condition continues to improve as the former NBAer is reportedly now in early stages of physical therapy. Initially, everyone feared for the worst when an unresponsive Odom was rushed to a Las Vegas hospital last week, but he is steadily showing encouraging signs. All right, folks, well, you know what's coming next. It is time to officially begin the show.
Michigan had the game on the line, on the foot, and Michigan State wins it with a 37-yard fumble return on a punt that is mishandled by Blake O'Neal.
Paul Bunyan right in the middle of that pool table. Okay, and I'll invite our entire team and our coaches over, and I'll decompress.
Honestly, this felt like a dream. I was running over to our student section, our parent section, to go celebrate with my family, and I jumped up there, and it honestly just, I mean, I've never felt anything like that. Like, honestly, just felt like I was in a dream.
I blitzed off the edge, and I hit the punter as he was fumbling it, Matt Morrissey and I, and he fumbled it out, and then I was on the ground, I just saw Jalen taking off. Before I knew it, he was in the end zone.
No, I seen him catch the punt, and then I seen the ball fly up in the air, and then I seen Jalen grab it and then start running. And I thought he stepped out of bounds, and then everybody went crazy. I was like, man, he scored. So
I think that it was sweet, you know, winning it the way we did, but I wouldn't say we deserved to win anything. You know, we competed, we went out there, and we got the victory. You know, it wasn't something that was just handed to us.
When we come here or they come there, I mean, it's just, you know, you want to win a football game, and it's a big game. I hope that our program's invalidated by now. We've won 11 games plus 4 times. So we're not, you know, we're not the weak sisters there. No pun.
Oh, he's staying in East Lansing. Let's go.
Lansing,
bro. Remember that.
Look at that face. They is devastated. They devastated.
Rope a dope.
Right?
Rope a dope. And they take their life at the end. Rope a dope.
That's the thing.
My goodness, what a moment. And if you are a Michigan fan out there, yeah, that's exactly what you're saying, right? Leave me alone. I don't want to talk about it. Leave me alone. What a moment. What an atmosphere. And that is a play that we will be talking about all the way until we're old and gray. I mean, my goodness. I couldn't believe what transpired in those final 10 seconds. Just to tell you my view of that play, Isaac and myself, we were in the end zone. We were on the field the entire game shooting for Current Sports TV, for WKAR-TV, right? So I would shoot during Michigan State possessions, and then Isaac would take over on Michigan possessions. So at the time, Isaac manned the camera. Now, I'm sitting next to Isaac, of course, 10 seconds left. I'm looking at my iPhone and looking at my notes, trying to memorize what I'm going to say on camera. So, folks, literally, and I still have it right here on my phone. I want to read this to you. This is what I plan to say on camera. The Michigan hype train validates itself once again with a win over in-state rival Michigan State. And it shows no signs of slowing down. The difference maker in this game can't be told by looking at stats alone. Penalties and big plays serving as the fine line set between winning and losing here at the Big House. That was going to be my open, folks. And I was going to close it out with this. The role for these two teams now drastically varies. MSU picks up the pieces, while Michigan is further thrusted into college football playoff talks. Maybe this signifies a changing of the guard in the great state of Michigan. Not bad for Jim Harbaugh's first year, eh? I'm Al Martin here at the Big House in Ann Arbor, Michigan for WKAR's Current Sports. That is what I was trying to memorize, thinking that there was no way possible that Michigan State could pull out a last-minute victory. So as I'm trying to go through my notes and memorize that in and out cue, all of a sudden, it happened. You just heard the call from Michigan Sports Radio as well as Spartan Sports Radio. And when the play occurred, I remember vividly my head popped up. And we saw Blake O'Neal fumble the snap or mishandle the snap at the moment. And I remember saying to myself, that's the noise I made. That's exactly what I did. And then when the ball somehow flew into the paws of Jalen Watts Jackson, and Isaac will probably remember me doing this, I said, And I grabbed Isaac's shoulders. You remember that, Isaac?
Oh, of course.
I grabbed Isaac. And Isaac is shooting the game, folks. This is footage. This is golden footage that we have to use for our post-game report. I grab Isaac, and then it hits me within the first seconds of me grabbing him that, okay, I probably shouldn't shake the man who's capturing this legendary moment on camera, right? So I take my hands off of him. And then Jalen Watts Jackson crosses the goal line, and he stumbles for the Michigan State touchdown. We were standing next to Channel 6 sports anchors and reporters, Fred Heumann and Kevin Gale. Fred Heumann immediately says, what happened? They scored? Is that the game? And then you hear Kevin saying, oh my goodness. And then at that moment, you could see a sea of white jerseys from the left sideline storm the field. I grabbed the camera from Isaac and I tried to capture every single moment that I possibly can of Michigan State celebrating that victory. And it was such an odd moment because when we ran out on the field, there's this huge huddle. Everyone's celebrating, and everyone wants to celebrate with the hero of the game, Jalen Watts Jackson. But we noticed that there is a big emptiness in the middle of the hole. And I'm sitting there saying, what's going on here? Who is that on the floor? And it was Jalen Watts Jackson. And you could hear him yelling at his teammates, get off me. Get off me. I can't say the exact words he was saying or else we could find. But he's saying, get off me, please. And all of a sudden, the trainers come out of nowhere. And they're pushing the Michigan State players back. And you could see that Jalen was in pain. In complete pain, folks. So after I got a little bit of that on camera and we got told, don't shoot this, blah, blah, blah. I ran down the other side of the field. And, of course, the ugliest trophy in all of trophies, the Paul Bunyan Trophy, was brought out. And I saw something online. I don't know how true this is, but I saw something online in which the Paul Bunyan Trophy was in the Michigan locker room. I guess the handlers of the trophy thought that Michigan also had it in the bag, and they had it in the locker room. I don't know how true that is. I did see a picture of the Paul Bunyan Trophy in the Michigan locker room. But all I know was that once I ran down to the other side of the field, Michigan State players had the trophy, and they were handing it off to their respective fans who were there in the first row. The Michigan State football players, they jumped into the first row screaming and yelling. You know, you saw high fives. I caught a moment of Connor Cook with the trophy, and he said, give me the trophy. And at the time, it had a Michigan State football helmet on. Paul Bunyan was rocking a Michigan State football helmet. He said, take off the helmet. His teammate did, and then Connor Cook grabs the trophy and then decides to run down the sidelines as Michigan fans booed him, and he smiles in jubilation. It was the craziest moment. And again, I'm not like an 80-year vet here when it comes to sports reporting. I've been doing it going back to my intern days for like 5 or 6 years. That was the craziest game I have ever covered. And it's one that I won't forget ever. It's something that I would tell my grandkids about, folks. So I am asking you all to call in if you saw the game and if you got a thought on the Michigan blunder. Call in. You know the number. You got it on speed dial. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. I want to get your thoughts on that final stanza, especially the last 10 seconds of that game when no one gave Michigan State a shot to pull off some crazy comeback, because it was one for the ages, and one that, again, not only I, but many of you out there who saw it will never, ever forget. Now, I do want to point out some things here, because I thought that this was an interesting game, a back-and-forth game. It resembled something like a boxing match. Both teams trading blows and trying to top what the other team did throughout the entire game. How impressive were the freshies? New safeties for the Spartans due to the injuries that they have endured. Grayson Miller and Kari Willis, they stepped up when Michigan State needed them to step up. They had eight total tackles between the two of them. Grayson Miller had six, Kari Willis with two. They were absolutely fantastic, especially when looking at how the Michigan State secondary has had a few lapses here and there. They were fantastic. Two freshman safeties for Michigan State, and I was really shocked how, you know, and when it comes to the play calling for Michigan, I don't think that they really challenged those two freshman safeties as much as they should have. But nonetheless, Grayson Miller and Kari Willis played their tails off. Grayson Miller was a part of that play at the end. He was one of the guys who was able to tackle Blake O'Neal to make sure that he didn't have a chance of sitting on that ball and ending the game. Unbelievable stuff. Unbelievable stuff. So I wanted to give those two a shout out because I thought they played absolutely insane. Connor Cook showed up when he needed his team to as well, especially the constant connections from Cook to Aaron Burbridge that we saw throughout that game. And especially props to Aaron Burbridge, who is actually matched up with Michigan's, and you know, you can make an argument for this, Michigan's best defensive back, you know, at the CB position, Jordan Lewis. I mean, Jordan Lewis and Jabril Peppers, they own that area when it comes to the Michigan State defense. And Jordan Lewis, you know, he tried, but Aaron Burbridge was able to shake loose multiple times and come through with a few big plays that kept Michigan State in that game. Connor Cook, he targeted Burbridge 17 times. Burbridge caught 9 of them. Unbelievable stuff. And then other receivers stepping up as well. R.J. Shelton, McGarrett Kings. He had that, you know, beautiful touchdown catch in the back left side of the end zone for Michigan State. Every time that Michigan tried to make a run and put the game out of reach, that Michigan State offense, they responded. How about the Trevon Pendleton? Big, big play, which many thought was a touchdown, but they marked him down at about the 1 yard line. But how crazy was that? The big man almost taking it to the house. Unbelievable stuff. And you got to give a lot of credit to that Michigan State defensive line. They stopped the run, folks. They stopped the run. That was one of my keys to the game coming into that game on Saturday, folks. Michigan averaged almost 200 yards on the ground in the last 5 games prior to matching up with Michigan State. 58 on Saturday. Just 58 on Saturday. Talk about impressive. Wow. Call in, folks. Stunning game. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Of course, Jim Harbaugh, even though he's done a fantastic job this year, fantastic job. And I think it would be a bit unfair to put the entire game on his shoulders, you know, as far as Michigan losing. I don't think you can put that on one man's shoulders in many ways. I mean, Michigan was 10 seconds away from pulling out that victory. And it could be an entirely different tune that we're singing here on today's Current Sports. I want you to call in, though. 517-355-9527. Let's go to line one right now. We've got Mary from Langsburg. Mary, how you doing, and welcome to the show.
I'm well, thanks, Al.
No problem.
I'm a Spartan fan through and through, but I have a complaint to make about Jim Harbaugh.
Okay.
And his lack of taking responsibility for the play that he called for his defense to defend against 10, 11 angry Spartans.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, I really think a lot. I didn't think a lot of him to begin with, but I think a lot less of him now because I feel like he's pinned their whole loss on that poor punter.
You think so?
I really do. I think he needs to man up and take some responsibility and say, you know, I'm the one who made the call.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He was just trying to fulfill what I asked him to do.
Right.
And unfortunately, it didn't work out that way. The kid's a freshman, isn't he?
Yeah, I believe Blake O'Neal. We can look that up to double check, but I believe he is a freshman.
Sure.
He's had an interesting path to Michigan as well. I know he's a graduate student with Michigan.
And he's from Australia.
And he actually was a model at one point, and he used the earnings that he had as a model to pay for his college career. I mean, he has a really interesting story, and had been, Mary, having a fantastic game up until that 1-1 play. And now, I can't really speak on the Harbaugh pressure because we didn't get a chance to see it. We were in the Michigan State locker room, but I have seen some things on social media in which, people are talking about how Jim Harbaugh, he said that his kicker made a bad play. It was a bad play that led to their demise in those final moments. And you don't like that.
All I can say is if that was Mark D'Antonio commenting on our team, he would own his part of it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It wasn't all that kicker's fault. And I really feel like Harbaugh has backed out and said, it's all his fault. He's the one who made the mistake. Well, yeah, he is the one who made the mistake, but Harbaugh, you're the one who made the call.
Yeah, there's certainly some shared responsibility there. I do agree with that.
I think he woefully left his punter unprotected. And that poor kid, here's a kid who's given you 80-yard punts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's got a boot. And then you tear him down, but he's the one who made the mistake.
That's an interesting take. All right. And, Mary, I got to ask, too, I mean, where were you when you saw that play? I mean, what was your reaction, the atmosphere you were in at the time? I'm curious.
My husband had just come home from work. We're sitting in front of the TV. I'd been watching on and off all afternoon, and we watched that final play, and he is jumping off the sofa screaming, "What the?" Mm-hmm. And I am literally just screaming. I think the neighbors thought there was probably a murder going on. And then my phone started ringing off the hook.
Oh, man. Then it started, right? Then the aftermath started.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty insane stuff. Mary, thanks so much for your call. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Oh, boy. And, I didn't get a chance to see. I don't know if you saw. I saw a few of the post-game comments from Jim Harbaugh, Isaac. But I didn't see him comment specifically on his kicker, his punter in that situation, Blake O'Neal. And I didn't hear exactly what he said. Maybe we can pull that throughout the show. But at the same time, when you really look at that play, going back and really diagnosing it, Michigan State, they sent everybody. They sent 11 men on the rush. And if you look at it, it looked as though Michigan had two men on the outside. What they were doing, I don't know. I guess, they thought the punt was going to get off and they were going to down it somewhere. And Michigan State was going to, maybe have, I don't know, maybe just, seconds left, like 5-4 seconds left, maybe to throw up a prayer. But at the same time, I view that play and say, okay, you got a young kicker here in Blake O'Neal. Why don't you put those two guys on the outside, put them on the line to help with the protection of your punter so that he doesn't seem, too spooked out. I don't know. Maybe Blake O'Neal got a bit spooked on that play when he saw 11 Spartans, 11 white jerseys coming right at him. I don't know. Only time will tell. I mean, I'm curious to see what Blake O'Neal has to say about the play. And, folks, I want to get this out there as well because I understand you love your team. This is a very big victory. It's one of the most memorable victories in Spartan Wolverine history. But at the same time, and I'm more so pleading with Michigan fans here, chill out, please. It's sports. Things happen. When I went on social media and saw stories about Blake O'Neal getting death threats and tweets like, why don't you, it's time to drink some bleach. I mean, come, are you kidding me? It really was upsetting. And for those that decided to lash out at Blake O'Neal, shame on you. Shame on you. In this world we live in where social media has really, taken over and how you have direct access to anybody through just, sitting behind your laptop, it's really unfortunate that a few idiots out there take it to another level, especially when we're just talking about a game here, folks. Come on. That really upset me. I had to get that off my chest because when I saw that, I just shook my head and said, you guys are just dummies. Dummies. Complete dummies who decided to do that. Again, folks, our phone lines are open. 517-355-9527. That is the number to call if you want to call in and give your thoughts on what took place. This is what I'm dubbing it, folks. You heard, actually, you know, from two players, actually MSU freshman Andrew Dowell and TJ Harrell, after the game during the last seconds of that montage we played for you to start the show, in which Andrew and TJ, they were sitting there with each other, and you can see the visual of it, and you can see my entire post-game report from that game by simply going to WKAR.org. And at the end of my piece, I play the montage in which Andrew and TJ say, look at their, beep faces. They are devastated. And they're pointing at the Michigan fans who are sitting in the big house trying to digest what in the world just happened. And then you see, I believe it was Andrew who said, rope-a-dope and then take their life at the end. I'm dubbing it the Spartan rope-a-dope at the big house. That's what I'm dubbing it. I've heard miracle at the big house as well, which is kind of cliche, kind of like, eh, I don't know about that one. But I love rope-a-dope at the big house, folks, because, I mean, yeah, it's kind of like that, you know. Michigan State at the final seconds of the game with the W. But what a heck of a game. And you got to give Michigan a lot of credit. I thought they played a great game overall. Jake Rudock looked very comfortable in the pocket. Very comfortable. Jake has been getting better each and every week. I've said that. Jabril Peppers, how about Jabril Peppers on kick returns? He gave Michigan great field position throughout that game, and I think Michigan State still has a lot of wrinkles in that special teams. But overall, I mean, no one can plan for a finish like that. Let's continue to take your outstanding telephone calls. We have Ray on line two. My man Ray, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I couldn't believe it. I was down so late. I missed the 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. They had a TV on upstairs. I was moving tables and chairs, and I knew that Michigan was up 10-7 at halftime. Some guy had a cell phone there. We were talking to people about the Lord all day. And when they showed that thing, I said, thank you, God. It couldn't have been any sweeter ending to that. Had 59 minutes and 50 seconds, and to get – Maybe they'll humble themselves someday.
Could you believe the last? I mean, and I'm asking those who call in to talk about their reaction. Where were you when it happened? Who was around you? What was the atmosphere like when you saw Michigan State come through with the last second victory? Where were you?
I was jumping up and down. I had the joy.
There you go.
You remember I told you all week the tight end, or I've seen your highlights. I didn't see the game. Mm-hmm. But in the third quarter when you were down 9 points, you slipped the fullback out of the backfield for a 75-yard pass down the middle. That was huge in the game.
That was very big. A lot of big plays in this game, Nick. That, again, kept Michigan State in the game. And, Ray, I got to give you a lot of credit because when you called our show last week, one of the biggest things you harped on was Michigan State containing the run. And if you said if they contain the run, they will win or have a great chance at winning. And that's exactly what they did. I think that was the X factor in that game. I think you nailed it, Ray.
Well, I heard you guys only ran for 58 yards. They had 65. Is that right?
Well, no. I thought Michigan ran for 58 yards, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Maybe I was looking at the scoreboard. I might have had it wrong. I'm getting pretty old. And my eyes are getting bad.
No, you're good. No, I believe overall, I think Michigan is a team that ran for just 58 yards, if I'm not mistaken. So
65, is that what I stated?
Yeah.
At 65.
But overall, great call, great game. Appreciate it, Ray.
Well, you know what? I got a thing for you.
Go ahead.
For the bullies downtown.
Oh,
okay?
Goodness, here we go.
In Ann Arbor.
Here we
Are
go.
You ready?
I knew it was coming. Go ahead.
You remember Michael Hart?
Yeah, of course.
Comments.
The little brother comments.
I wonder what he's thinking now. You've beaten him 7 out of 8 years since he said that comment. And, you know, just a little tiny guy, and then they've lost 8 out of 9 years to Ohio State. Have the bullies ever thought about going to the MAC school where they might play Eastern Michigan or Western Michigan? They might be able to actually beat somebody again.
Look at Ray taking jabs. Ray is constantly taking jabs. I love it. Ray, thanks a lot, my man.
All right, God bless.
All right. Let's go to line one. I believe we've got my man Apachu on. Apachu, welcome to the show.
Hey, man. First of all, congratulations. Great game, great comeback. I've heard the word fluke thrown around on both sides by the Spartans and by the Wolverines. That was not a fluke.
Right.
That situation, that possibility, that very, very possibility was created by the fact that you put 11 guys on the line.
Right.
And if this kid or whatever he was, that's a lot of pressure, and Palm probably got a little sweaty and muffed the ball, and it happened, and you guys won the game. And I'm a believer that everything is settled on the field. Everybody else shut up. You didn't play. You didn't coach. You didn't play. The game was settled. The Spartans won. And for this year, you're the big brother, in my opinion. I do want to say I respect you for what you said in the beginning when you talked about this little write-up there. And how, you know, your heart had sank. Like, my heart was lifted. You know, we were going to win. It looked like possibly. My wife kept yelling, it's not over. It's not over. It's not over.
Right.
You know, and so you didn't have to tell us that. So I appreciate that, man. That was very, very good. I appreciate that. It's,
yeah.
You know, as far as Jim Harbaugh saying that he messed up, I was kind of shocked that he said it. I'm not sure he was shifting the blame. It's been said many times, the worst time to interview somebody is after a game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because the emotions are high, they're in shock, and you tell he was in shock, and which is a good thing.
Right.
Because if he's going to walk through this conference like he's Mr. Badass, then eventually we're going to be subject to him. We're going to be his servants. And I think he needs to sweat a little bit, get knocked around, and get into this rivalry, because it is a rivalry. It's acknowledged by the entire country. It was a beautiful day for ESPN in the football world. I love my Spartans. I'm proud of my Spartans. I respect the Wolverines. I respect the Spartans.
Oh, I thought you had converted for a second, Pachu.
Yeah, Pachu, that was scary.
I'm like, oh, he's come. He's seen the light. No, I'm joking.
Yeah. No, hey, I went to Michigan State. My wife graduated from Michigan State.
Right.
We're Wolverines, man. I grew up a Wolverine. I don't step back from that.
Right.
Their worst days, I'm a Wolverine. But at the same time, I'm not one of them silly spectators. You know, these kids come from primarily from impoverished areas, and they're gladiators, and they're out there doing battle, and we act like we got something to do with it. We're spectators, man. You know, take it easy. You know, nobody needs to be killed. Nobody needs to hate nobody,
it's
anything
sports.
Like that. Let them play the game. Let them try to get to the pros. Let them try to get their education. You know, but I want to get back to that comment that Jim Harbaugh said, and the lady who called in, with all due respect, she said, damn, Tony, or something like that. Well, I recall when the big brother, little brother comment was made, D'Antonio was on being interviewed, and he took his right hand and he made a motion with his big finger. Excuse me. Yeah, his index finger and his thumb, talking about the miniature Mike Hart.
Mm-hmm.
So again, right after the battle, you know, immediate interviews and so forth. He was brokenhearted. He was in shock. He felt disrespected. You know, these games mean a lot to certain people, and I think spectators just take too serious. And I was guilty of that for many years until I grew up. So, yeah, you, like you said, man, calm down. Don't kill nobody. You know, don't destroy people's statues and on either side. It's just ridiculous, man. It was a beautiful game. I enjoyed it. I wanted drama. Almost had a heart attack. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you what, it ain't over, Michigan State. You got to beat Penn State. You got to beat Nebraska. And you got to beat Ohio State. And I want to see the Big Ten winning a national championship, no matter who it is. And I want to see Michigan in a wonderful bowl. I think that's going to happen. We got a great team, and we got a great coach, and I'm looking forward to the future, you know.
All right.
So congratulations again, man.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot for the call, Apache. You're always a great one.
Thank you.
I have an interesting take when it comes to the Big Ten and what could happen as the year moves on. I'll get to that as we, you know, during the closing moments of the show. Let's go to line three right now. We've got Camille on. Camille, how you doing? Is she there?
Camille, I'm doing good.
There she is. Yes, we got you now. What's going on?
Sorry about that. I'm doing good. I just wanted to make just a couple quick comments about the game on Saturday. One, I did.
Oh, Camille, I think I'm sorry to cut you. I think I hear your radio in the background. Can you turn it down just a smidget?
All right, I got you. Is that better?
That's perfect. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. I think I did say in my prediction that State would have 27. Michigan State never, ever lets me down. So I didn't want to point that out.
Great. Listen, look at you. Like the Dalai Lama. Good prediction, Ms. Cleo. All right.
But I just wanted to make a couple quick comments. One, because I'm definitely a Michigan State fan all the way. But as far as Michigan, they played a good game. As far as that targeting call, I have to stand behind Michigan. That wasn't a targeting call.
It was a terrible call.
Really,
right.
It was pushed.
I agree.
And then the other comment I want to make real quick is as it relates to the kicker, that guy, Michigan, he played his butt off. He kicked every necessary thing he needed to do until that last one. But when you look at Michigan State, if we don't do anything else next year when it comes to recruiting, we need a new kicker because that guy should be fired.
Well, the interesting dynamic when it comes to Michigan State and their special teams, has been a glaring flaw for this squad all year. They actually used backup quarterback Tyler O'Connor as the punter the entire game. And Tyler O'Connor's long, straight drives allowed Jabril Peppers to just catch the ball and just take off with it. It didn't allow the ball, the hang time on the ball wasn't there. It didn't allow the coverage to get down the field and put any pressure on Jabril Peppers. So that's the problem right now. And it sent a message to Hartberger. I think maybe that's why D'Antonio made the move, because Hartberger has not been a great punter all year. Right. So I think he was trying to send a message. It is a problem, and it could cost Michigan State games as we move on throughout this season.
Right, because when you look at that game, because even when I was getting ready, you know, when we thought that State was losing, when we thought that, even I said, the kicker lost that game.
Mm-hmm.
And so
right.
When we look at it, you want to say the kicker lost the game for Michigan, where the kicker almost lost the game for us as well.
How ironic,
you know,
right?
Our boys came out and, you know, pulled through. And then just the last thing that I wanted to say is that you said that you wanted to know where, you know, we were at when we saw the game. I actually went down to SCG where they televised all the games for free.
Nice, yes, yes.
And so
Was that crazy? Was popcorn going everywhere?
Oh, wow. I don't know why the lady in front of me didn't turn around and beat me up, because when I had a whole thing of juice, probably, I think, what is it, like 64 ounces? Yeah, it was all gone. It was all over her.
Oh,
I was like, I know why she's not celebrating. I was so sorry, but it was so unbelievable.
Right.
That people had left and walked. Spartan fans had left and started walking out, giving up on us. And they all turned around. This one guy came and said, I was in my car pulling off, and I heard y'all out in the parking lot. He said, what happened? I say, when you go home and watch the news, you should kick yourself.
Right. I'm telling you. I missed that moment. It's crazy. Okay.
Yeah, I told him. I said, the last 10 seconds. Yeah. I think God himself remembered he was a Spartan fan.
Right.
And he showed up to the game, because you've never seen anything like that before in your life.
Unbelievable.
But, it was totally crazy. Like, we just shut that place down. It was crazy. But that was all I wanted to say about the game. Spartan, they're great.
They are, man. What, Camille, thanks a lot for the call. Always a great one. All right, let's keep this train rolling. We got a lot of calls coming in. Let's go to, I want to say, line 100 here. Jody from Canada. My man, Jody, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, Al?
I'm doing good, my friend.
No, first off, man, I'm going to keep it real. I too, man, there's so much money involved, TV and everything involved, that it's going to be a little bigger than what it should be. You know, I mean, you got guys making $7 million, and everybody's listening and being part of the, nowadays everybody wears uniforms and T-shirts that say MSU football, U of M football. Back in the day when I was playing, you couldn't walk around with jerseys that weren't official team jerseys, because you couldn't buy them.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So people were part of the program, but they really, you know, you couldn't buy varsity jackets. You had to earn them.
Right. Okay. I see where you're going with that. Right.
You know, so that's the difference. It's so much money, so much TV, so much everything, that people think they're part of it now, because you're paying $80 and $100-something to see a game.
Right. So they have that personal connection based on the dollar signs.
On the dollar sign. It's cash money, dollar bills, like the OJ say.
That's right.
Second off, you know, I had put on my page, congratulations U of M, because I thought it was over until they went out to put the punt. That was the only thing that they could have done.
Right,
that
exactly.
would have given us a chance to stay in the game.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you ran a little run and play and you were at State's 47, State would have had to throw a Hail Mary.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it would have been a miracle. Yeah.
Let's be honest. You know, I mean, and everybody now is, well, you should be coaching who you think. But let's be honest, man. You know, they blew that.
Yep. They handed the game to Michigan State.
They blew. I mean,
Michigan,
say what you want and get mad and can holler and all that. They blew the game.
They did.
And, I mean, I'll take it. But, you know, Harbaugh, you and your special teams, Cat, because they didn't even – you're rushing 11 people. They didn't even bring their doggone the scouts, the two guys on the outside to come down and cover the kick, bring them in and just kick the ball out of bounds.
Right.
And make Michigan State go 80 yards.
Yep.
You know, or at least just run a 2-yard run. If you can't get, if you're the number 12 team in the country, you can't get 2 yards in the clutch, you shouldn't have won the game.
I said the same thing. You know, I don't know why. If you see Michigan State rushing 11, why do you have two guys on the outside? And I think, honestly, I think Blake O'Neal might have got spooked. I think he got spooked.
Oh, he got spooked, of course. But, you know, his kicking style is two steps to the right, Australian rules kicking.
Yep. Yep.
So,
exactly.
You know, I mean, so he's a fifth-year senior, went to, I think, Boise State or Weber State, one of them out there. But, you know, so he has experience. But I'm not putting my punter in that situation.
Yep.
I'm not. Okay, that's just me. Okay, everybody here, Jody Mack. But Jody Mack, I don't do that. I put my faith in my dogs.
Right. I hear you.
You know?
That's a very good point, Jordan. I think that's one of the interesting dialogues to take away from this game as well. That's immediately what I saw when I was talking to a few of my friends on Sunday. Why in the world were two guys on the outside? I agree, Jody. Fantastic call, dude.
Go
ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, because I know you got other callers. I can call you tomorrow on Wednesday. Did Harbaugh or his special teams guy take the blame, or did they throw that boy under the bus?
Well, again, we were in the Michigan State press conference room, and we just heard comments from D'Antonio and the players. Now, I did see a few snippets from the Jim Harbaugh presser on local newscasts from around the area. They didn't really talk about, though, the shots that I saw weren't about Blake O'Neal himself and whether the decision, for him bobbling that snap. They didn't really – those shots weren't focused on that. Now, I am told, though, and looking at social media, and we had Mary calling from Langsburg, she said that, you know, Jim Harbaugh is putting a lot of the blame on the kicker. And, you know, that she believes that Jim Harbaugh didn't own up and take responsibility for the play call itself. And I don't think he's even addressed. Now, he is having his press conference, I believe. I don't know. He had it this morning. And I'm sure he was asked about why he had two guys on the outside. I just don't know what comments he had. So as we read them and as we hear them, we will certainly bring them to the table on the show, if not today, tomorrow. Certainly.
And my only thing on that is that as a coach and you're making $7 million, you don't throw your kids under the bus.
No, you don't do that.
You take the blame. You say, hey, we'll get better. We made a mistake. Bam. Because once you do that to a kid and you don't turn around and stand right behind him, and I'm not saying he's not, but if he isn't, that becomes a major negative recruiting tool against him.
Right. I agree. And again, we have to confirm that. But yeah, I totally agree with you, Jody.
Yeah. And that's my biggest issue is that the coaches are the ones that make the play, make the calls.
Right.
Kid dropped the ball, true. But, you know, looking at football, you know, I mean, I'm excited about it because, and, you know, in the wrong way because I'm a Spartan.
Right.
Okay. But I just don't, I hated to see that boy, you know, see them throw that boy. You know, why did that boy get death threats? He dropped the ball, true, but who called that crazy stuff?
Right, right. And it's unfortunate. And you got idiots out there on social media that, again, Tom Izzo calls them what cowards hiding behind keyboards. And that's exactly what it is. That's
yeah,
all that
well,
is.
You know, that's what, but hey, come on now, those cowards behind keyboards is what's paying folks' salaries.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Keep it real, because they're the ones coming to the $80 game, because most of your real fans can't afford it.
But at the same time, there is a fine line. There is a fine line, Jody.
That's true.
Yep, that's true. Hey, Jody, great call, my man. Yeah, give us a call. Keep calling throughout the week, man. We always love when you call.
I will.
My man.
All right. Take care.
Let's keep this train moving. We've got Dave from Grand Rapids. Dave, welcome to Current Sports. How you doing?
Hey, we're doing fine. One of the people going crazy, like at least probably 50% of the state.
Right.
There are a couple things. One, I'll just get it out front. You know, I'm in Grand Rapids, so we heard the WZZM guy announce that Michigan had won.
Yes, yeah.
Which
I saw
was,
that.
You know, not a great piece of video to have in your career, especially with the internet now.
Right. Yeah, it was Jamal. And, you know, it's so funny that you bring it up, Dave. Jamal Spencer is the reporter that you're talking about.
He's a state grad.
Yeah, he's a state grad. It's funny. I don't know if you saw this, Isaac, but Jamal walked in during the D'Antonio presser. And Jamal's usually a cheery guy from what I've seen. He looked a bit down. I've never seen him like that. His head was kind of down. I don't know what was going on. And then I go home on Facebook and see this video going viral. I believe Deadspin was the first website to air it. And I'm sitting there saying, oh, yeah. My gosh.
An old coach used to use the phrase, screwed the pooch.
Right.
That's what happened.
What happened, yeah.
And it's, as I said, it's too bad because this ain't the old days. That's going to be living on forever.
No, it had to be played left and right. Right.
Going back to more game-related, one, as soon as the game was over, I slipped over to the Big Ten Network and was, I guess, kind of disappointed that Jim Harbaugh, one, he sort of inferred that the punter dropped the ball. I'll get to that second point next sec. And then he went on a 3 to 4 minute diatribe about officiating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and once again, I had an old coach that said, you know, you can control the weather. You can't control the weather, and you can't control officiating.
Right.
Exactly. And sometimes you can't control field conditions.
Yep. All of those are unpredictable.
So those are things. So, you know, one, it sounded, you know, gee, they paid Lloyd Carr a heck of a lot less. He didn't make as many excuses as Jim Harbaugh did after that game, which is kind of disappointing, but I think it tells us what's up in the future. Secondly, you know, you talked about the punter fumbling it. I think the center looked up, saw 11 men on the line, and didn't know what the heck to do. His mind started working quick, didn't think of the job at hand. And with 11 guys on the line, the center, who's played American football most of his life, or all of his life, knew darn well that Australian-style kicking takes an extra yard, yard and a half to get off.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, hey, you love those Australian-style kickers as long as they're not pressured. But,
right.
You know, they take one. They just don't take one step drop and boot a lot of the time. They'll take two or three and
mm-hmm.
try it.
Yeah.
So I think that's something that every coach is going to start taking a look at. I would blame, if you're going to say blame, I think the center panicked.
So you don't think it was a good snap from the center to Blake O'Neal?
That was a low snap. And under that kind of pressure, that snap has to be a heck of a lot better than about mid between his ankle and his knee, which is where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he's got to pick up that ball, take his two steps, and drive it. So that was too bad. And I guess the last thing I'll say is, after watching some of the reaction, and if you can forward, how many years is the $7 million coach going to be in Ann Arbor if he finds out he's going to beat Michigan State and Ohio State just to get to the championship game to win a Big Ten championship or even get an invite to the Final Four of the national championship? You know, you can go back to the NFL and 12 teams make it out of 31 every year.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, that Big Ten East is a meat grinder.
It is.
And
it
if Penn State gets better, nobody's going to have a walk in the park. So I think Michigan State's special teams are still a head-scratcher. But at the end of the day, Connor Cook showed why he's Connor Cook, and we know why that the kid that played for Michigan, Rudick, he wasn't good enough to start at Iowa, and now we saw why. He doesn't have the big arm.
Right,
that's
he doesn't.
Not a knock on him, but that's just not his skill set. So, hey, good show. Thanks.
Hey, Dave, fantastic call. Really appreciate it. And on that notion for Connor Cook, just digest this before we take a brief TO. Connor Cook has never, ever, ever, ever lost a Big Ten road game. Chew on that. Let's hit our first break. Well, our only break of the show. Got a fantastic calls. I want to give a shout out to all you guys who called in. Mary, Ray, Apatu, Camilla, Jody, Dave. Appreciate you guys weighing in. We'll be right back to put a bow on this one. You get our final thoughts on the crazy game when I'm dubbing the Spartan Rope-A-Dope at the Big House. And we'll also have a brief weekend winners for you. Let's hit our break.
About to get back. I need some get back. Payback. Payback. That's it.
10 seconds left to play. No man back for the Spartans on the return.
This is guts right here.
Good snap. O'Neal, Muffy. Football, and he can't get away with it. And Michigan State running down the left sideline. Needing a block, and the Spartans are going to win the football
game.
Touchdown, Michigan State. Are you kidding me? Michigan State wins the football game as the Spartans break the hearts of the Wolverine faithful. It was the safety, Jalen Watts Jackson, who took it away as O'Neal bobbled the snap, and Michigan State breaks the heart of Michigan fans.
Oh, my God.
I could listen to the play calls of that play all day. I mean,
no!
Yeah, one more time, Isaac. That's hilarious. That's the Michigan student radio call of the play, in which the Spartans pulled it out. Again, Jalen Watts Jackson. Again, we gave you guys a quick update on Jalen as well. He is never going to pay for anything in mid-Michigan ever again. He's like a hero now, folks. I mean, Jalen Watts Jackson, he goes down. He actually fractures and dislocates his hip on the play in the aftermath. He had surgery yesterday. He's going to be out for the entire year. He will return to campus on Tuesday, and you better believe they may hold a parade for that brother. Unbelievable stuff, folks. And again, and I want to beg this question. We only have 4 minutes left in the show. Again, special shout out to all you guys who called in to weigh in on what took place this past weekend. But I want to bring this question to the forefront as well, because it's an interesting one that I had with one of my fraternity brothers who used to go to Michigan. Had this conversation via text with him on whether or not the Michigan fan base, the majority of the fan base, do they respect Michigan State even more looking at the track record that has gone down now 7 of the last 8 years? D'Antonio, his 7th win in the last 8 years over the Wolverines. How much do Michigan fans respect the Michigan State football program? Because my argument on it, I don't, even looking at what took place on Saturday, I still am not sold that Michigan looks at Michigan State as a formidable opponent, especially looking at how that game was won on Saturday. And Apache used the word fluke. They look at it as, oh, you got lucky. You know what I mean? They in many Michigan fans' eyes, they look at it as a W for Michigan because it was a lucky play. So I'm curious to get, thoughts on that as well. Do Michigan fans respect Michigan State more? Because I still think that Michigan still looks at MSU as the little brother, quote unquote. And did you see Desmond Howard? Did you see him on the sidelines throw up I saw this video when I got back as well. He threw up like the number one or a thumbs up or something.
Did you see Rich Eisen?
No, I didn't see Rich Eisen.
He had a tweet of himself too. Arms raised in victory.
Wow.
And then they lost.
Very brief, Isaac. What do you think about that? Do you think Michigan's fans respect Michigan State?
You know, how I think they're a little bit sore right now, willing to concede. Yeah, the Spartans are a good team. I think give it a couple of weeks and it'll be the same old banter about Michigan State not being the real rivals right now.
Right, right.
I think Michigan State can get a little ways to go with the whole we are your real rivals, but few weeks in the future, I don't think that's the case anymore.
It's going to be the same old song. It will always be the same old song. Do Coach D'Antonio and his players care? Heck no. They just care about winning. But I do think that there is a very educated and very logical Michigan fan base out there as well that understand what this rivalry means and what 7 of the last 8 means when it comes to the overall perception of Michigan State. I do believe that there is an educated fan base out there, but I do believe that there are a tremendous amount of Michigan fans out there that just look at it as, yeah, you're still a little brother. You got lucky. Point blank, period. We will continue this discussion tomorrow. We'll break down the Big Ten. Iowa looks great. I think that if Iowa wins out, because I thought that their biggest opposition, if they were going to have a chance at having an etch on their record before the Big Ten championship game was going to be against Northwestern, they handled Northwestern this past weekend. Iowa could very well run the tables and play Michigan State or Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game. But if Iowa wins out, what do you think, folks? If Iowa was to win out and if they were to beat a Michigan State in the Big Ten championship game, would they be in the college football playoff? Or what if they played in Ohio State? I think for sure they'll be in the playoff if they beat Ohio State. But I don't know if they would be if they beat Michigan State in that game. I don't know if they would make the playoff.
What do you think? We'll continue that tomorrow. We'll talk about the Lions win. So much to get to. I knew this was going to happen too with this crazy game. Thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to WKR's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care and be easy, people.